From the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you. Love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may have heard the story told by St. Jerome, passed down by the Christians across the centuries, and is likely true, not a legend, that at the very end of his life, the disciples used to go carry St. John on Sundays down to exhort the people. He was too old at that point to celebrate the Eucharist himself, but he would be in attendance. His voice was very frail. Everybody would huddle around him, and he would just simply repeat the words, "Little children, love one another." One of the young men who was entrusted with the task of bringing him back and occasionally carrying him and being his walking crutch, with a little bit of youthful know-it-allism, said basically, "Listen, you're a broken record. Every time we come and we bring you down, and you're saying the same thing all the time." And St. John, St. Jerome tells us, replied to this young boy, "I never tire of saying that, because the Master never tired of saying it. Love one another." It's basic to Christianity. First graders know it. It seems so simple. It's not. But it's grounded in what Jesus teaches us during the Last Supper, which is one of the highlights of the Easter season when we get here. Jesus gives us a structure to love. I combined yesterday's passage today's because yesterday, as you know, we had the gospel for the feast of Philip and James. And it's meant to be as a whole. Jesus gives us a structure which is supposed to order our life. "Just as the Father loves me, so I love you." The Father can't love the Son any more, any better. And Jesus loves us in that same way. It's extraordinary that the love that exists within the persons of the Trinity overflows into us without diminishment. "Just as the Father loves me, I love you." And then he gives us an action verb. We've heard this action verb earlier this week twice. Now it comes a third time. For the Canadians present, it's a hat trick. Very important for us to grasp. Remain, abide in my love. Sometimes when we hear that, at least I, when I was growing up, thought that remain and abide is closer to an intransitive verb than a transitive one. Okay, I won't do anything to reject it or run away from it, but basically to remain is to be a potted plant, not really making human choices. No, something far more than that. to remain is one of the most important decisions we make, but there's also something behind it. Jesus is not saying, earn my love. He's saying, remain in the love I already have for you. Remain in it. Choose to remain in it. Choose to remain in it in your work. Choose to remain in it. Be aware of it and choose to remain when you eat. Choose to remain in it in your community life. Choose to remain in it in that relationship with that sister who drives you crazy. Choose to remain in it on really hot nights. Choose to remain in it always. And then from there, he gives us his commandment. He calls it both mine and new. Mine, because it's proper to him. All that we've had up until now was love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is going to give us a totally different standard. But it's always going to be new. There are two words in Greek for new. One is brand new. The other is fresh. Ever new. The adjective here is ever new. It's something that will never grow old. Love one another just as I have loved you, just as the Father has loved me. Remain in that love so that you can, in fact, love others by this standard. Pope Benedict in Deus Caritas asked the question, how can we be commanded to love? That was the first. Because love has to be free. It can't be under compulsion. But then second, how can we love by the Lord's own standard to that degree? And he answers both questions by saying, because God gives us the means by which freely to respond and love at that level. That he pours his love into our hearts so that what would be otherwise impossible becomes doable. This is what leads to joy. This is what leads to Christian fruitfulness. This is what leads to the growth in the church, as we see in the Acts of the Apostles throughout this Easter season. This is what draws people into the heart of the mystery of God. And this is what we long for forever in heaven. To remain in the Lord's love forever. Today's first reading, we have the conclusion of that first council in the church, the Council of Jerusalem. And we see how the church was loving those in Antioch in this time in which they had been disturbed and scandalized by these brothers who had gone down there and started to say that you can't be a good Christian unless you're keeping all 613 commandments of the Old Testament just like the Pharisees did. So it wasn't so much about remaining in the Lord's love. It was about washing your hands with eggshells up and down, one and a half eggshells this way, one and a half eggshells this way, rubbing it with your fists, all the rest of it, dietary laws, etc., which were all, many of which were provisional to train our appetite so that we would be able, as St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians, to go from the pedagogue of the law to the master himself, Jesus, when it finally came, so that we'd appreciate. Our vengeance would have been limited by the turning the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth law of Talion, so that after it had been limited, Jesus would be able then to build on it and say, no, actually, love your enemies, pray for your persecutors. We could go through all of that. But they were disturbed because they had heard the message of that self-sacrificial love, which is at the heart of our faith. And then all of a sudden, these people came and said, no, you have to do all of these deeds in order to remain in the Lord's love, rather than start with it. Start with the Lord's love. And so the council talked about it, and they sent this message, in which there were three commands. And at first they might seem a little random. These were the issues that were still disturbing them, but they're all applications of the love of the Lord. Not to place any burden on you beyond these necessities, namely, to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols. Why? If you're really loving others the way I love you, you're not going to scandalize others. And there would be many who would take scandal if they saw you worshiping idols, it's the way they would look at communing with idols through eating meat sacrificed to them. So they said, don't do that. In the same way you were scandalized by these brothers who had gone down without our permission, so care for the weak faith of others so that they don't think you're worshiping idols when all you're doing is eating cooked food. Second, abstain from blood and from meat of strangled animals. This was for the Jews, lest they themselves be totally offended. Blood was a sign of life. God alone is the author of life. So all kosher dietary laws come from the fact that the blood has to be dripped out of an animal first. And if you strangle an animal, the blood remains within. And if you're eating the meat of that animal, you're eating it with the blood, which is basically communicating to a Jew that you believe you are the Lord of life because you're consuming an animal with blood. So lest you give a scandal there, don't do that, because love requires not scandalizing. And third, avoid all porneia. The translation here is unlawful marriage, but it's far broader. In the same way that St. Paul would write to the Thessalonians, this is God's will for you, your holiness, therefore abstain from all porneia, all sexual sin. So they were pointing out to the church in Antioch to abstain from all sexual sin. The way that your love for God will be corroded, the way that you will begin no longer to hunger for what God alone can give to satisfy the longings of your heart, is through following the temptation of the devil toward these substitutes. The greatest means by which we experience that love of the Lord is what we do now. Just as the Father loves the Son, so the Son loves us. And He comes to give His life for us right here. This is my body, this is my blood given for you. This is what the early church called the sacramentum caritatis, the sign and means of intimate love of God. It's here that efficaciously we receive that love of the Father fully in the Son, the love of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit fully in us. And we receive that command, remain in this love. Keep this loving communion. This is the way God's own joy will be in us. Our joy will be complete, and we will bear fruit that will last to that kingdom where we will remain with God forever. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.